have about 25 minutes for questions. If you're on the phone, you'll have an opportunity, obviously, to ask questions as well. So from time to time, we'll go to the phone line. When asking your question, if you'd please say your name and news organization for the benefit of the panel. And we'll open the floor to questions now. Caroline?
Caroline Salas from Bloomberg. President Dudley, I was hoping you could expand a little bit on your outlook for the economy. How has it changed over the course of the beginning of this year?
Well, first of all, I want to keep most of the comments on the regional outlook. And I'm going to be giving a speech on the national economy in 2 weeks, so I'll have a lot more to say then. As I said in my remarks, I mean, I think things do look somewhat better. We've seen some improvement, certainly in real final sales and consumer spending. Financial conditions are much more accommodative than they were 6 months ago. Banks are loosening their credit standards. So overall, I think the situation is considerably brighter. That said, we still have a very high level of unemployment. We still have some problems particularly in the housing sector. And credit availability, while it's improved, is improving from a very, very tight level of availability. So things are better, and I would expect we'll see stronger growth in 2011 and 2012 than we did in 2010.
Question from the phone?
Yes, Morley at the record.
Morning, you.
Hi. Could someone answer this? How integral is, how important is the credit bounce back? What happens if people say, well, we're sort of picked out by the level of credit we had before the crisis and what happened, so we're now going to stick at the more savings, and we're going to get debt less. What would that mean for the economy?
Well, I think it's fair to say that if households today in the aggregate, if they all decided to save more, that would be a drag on the economy, because there would be a shortfall of demand, which would then contribute to weaker employment. And so you wouldn't have the virtuous circle of demand leading to job creation, leading to income, leading to confidence. So the deleveraging process itself is definitely a drag on the economy. I think the important point is that we seem to have gotten to the point where a lot of the desired deleveraging seems to have taken place. Now, that doesn't mean it's necessarily complete. Obviously, it's not complete for every household, but the drag from that source seems to have diminished. And you can see that in a number of ways. The household savings rate has been relatively steady over the last 6 months, so it doesn't seem like there's further desire to further increase in the desired savings rate. As Richard pointed out in his comments, the fact that households are taking on more auto debt, I think it's pretty interesting, because it's a discretionary event, and so that's probably a sign of increased household confidence in terms of the economic outlook. So when they do save more and use that to pay down their debt or rebuild their wealth, that's definitely a drag on economic activity, and that drag seems to be diminishing.
Thank you. Other questions from the room? Yeah, Stephen.
Stephen Joyce would be your name. President, I'm going to ask another national question, but it's in your speech, so I think it's very in. You talked about the effects of the large-scale asset program improving the economy. And I was wondering if you could point to what gives you that impression. Is there a specific data point or set of them that gives you that impression? And also, you mentioned the easing conditions of bank credit. And is there a correlation between the two, the easing conditions and QE2? Thank you.
Well, we'll never know what the economy would look like in the absence of QE2, so we can't run the counterfactual experiment and sort of be absolutely confident about what the role of QE2 is. That said, I would sort of note two things. One, financial conditions today are considerably more accommodative than they were back in August, when market expectations started to shift in the direction there would be another round of QE2. And two, the economic outlook has brightened. Now, we can argue about the the causal linkages in the chain between QE2 and financial conditions and the economy, but certainly the actions seem to have been helpful rather than harmful.
I'm Michael Diamond from the Asbury Park Press. What sorts of indicators do you look at to suggest that businesses are going to be hiring soon?
I think a couple indicators that are important are, one, business confidence. There actually are surveys of business intentions to hire, manpower surveys, for example. There are surveys, especially of small businesses, that take place that look at their economic outlook. And I think generally what we're seeing is really, confidence improving through a sort of broader array of indicators. If you want to sort of point to the one indicator that's probably the leading indicator in terms of confidence is the stock market. So we've had a pretty significant rise in the stock market over the last 6 to 9 months. I think we're up about 30% from the low point in 2010. And that, I think, is probably the best sort of indicator of what's happening in terms of confidence. So confidence comes first. Then, expectations that demand will be forthcoming. It's a little bit of a chicken and egg, right? I'm not going to hire until I see the demand. I'm not going to see the demand until I hire. So that's why it's important to for the economy to get a little bit more forward momentum, because once it gets a little bit more forward momentum, then you can see how the virtuous circle gets started. That you get more spending leads to more income, leads to more job creation. That makes businesses feel more optimistic about the outlook, and so they're more willing to increase their hiring. And it's too soon to say exactly where we are in that process, because we haven't had that sort of definitive report in terms of the labor market. But all the other indicators are very much pointing to the sign that the economy is now cycling up in a pretty significant way.
Another question in the back?
Yeah, hi, this is Lisa Chow with WNYC. I'm just wondering, in terms of the employment situation here in New York City, you mentioned how there's a decline in the labor force participation. I'm wondering what you make of that and what you think eventually will turn this around.
Well, I think the general view of economists would be that a decline in the participation rate can oftentimes reflect fatigue, in the sense that if you've been unemployed for a long time, you may drop out of the labor force. The way the unemployment rate is measured is you're only counted as unemployed if you're actively looking for work. So, if you've been unemployed for a long time and are having trouble finding employment, and you may get fatigued and drop out of the labor force, and that's what causes the participation rate typically to decline. What we'd expect to happen is that if the economy improves as we expect and hope, and labor market conditions continue to improve, we would expect some of the people that got discouraged as job prospects improve, some of those people that were discouraged come back into the labor force. So the participation rate is likely to climb, we would expect from here, as labor market conditions improve.
Other questions perhaps on the household debt and credit report, which was released this morning at 10. Mike Derby.
Somewhat along those lines. The large level of excess reserves that banks have parked at the Fed, are you frustrated banks aren't more willing to lend that money out and the Fed has helped them get that liquidity? You want credit to rise. Are you frustrated that banks aren't more willing to lend that money?
Yeah, I think that we didn't look at the channel by which QE2 is going to operate as working mainly through bank excess reserves. Before we did the last large-scale asset purchase program, there were already lots of excess reserves in the banking system. So it wasn't, we did not have the view that increasing the amount of excess reserves in the banking system further, we're going to have a significant impact on economic activity. We thought that the large-scale asset purchase program was primarily to work through its effect on financial market conditions. So the stock market, credit spreads, things of that nature. And we've seen that effect. So really, we never really thought that the avenue was really through the banking system per se. Now, obviously, as the economy gets better, as banks' balance sheets improve, banks will be more willing to lend. And we actually see that in the surveys that we do of banks. Credit conditions are still tight, but they're no longer tightening. They are starting to become easier. And as a consequence, that you're starting to see a recovery in some of the credit aggregates that you did not see up to now.
Other questions from the phone?
City has support the economy.
I think it's saying New York paused, but New Jersey's steadily declined.
Is it? I wouldn't make too much about you know, the quarterly data. I mean, they're seasonally adjusted and otherwise manipulated, and you know, I wouldn't take a quarter's worth of data as you know, definitive of a new you know, economic trend. I will say one thing that does affect this region probably more negatively than the country as a whole is the state of state and local government finances. And the fiscal consolidation that has to occur at the state and local level will probably be more painful in this region than it is nationally.
I guess I'll just add, in terms of the differential between what was occurring in New York City and New York State relative to New Jersey, New York State and New York City have had a boost from education and health throughout the entire downturn, and that same boost hasn't really been there in New Jersey, and so that also contributes to some of that gap and what's played out in more recent months as well.
Another question, Christina.
To what extent do you look at events in Egypt, for example, as risks to your outlook? I know this is a broader question.
A little bit broader. Yeah, I mean, obviously, geopolitical developments can always have economic consequences for both the international economy and the global, you know, the U.S. economy, and then by extension to the regional economy. But I don't, you know, I don't think that right now we would view events in Egypt as having the kind of repercussions that would broadly influence our economic forecast. That doesn't mean that events couldn't evolve in a good way or a bad way that could actually have meaningful implications for economic activity in the U.S. But, you know, I would say that, you know, you talk about Egypt, you know, in terms of its economic mass and its linkages back to the U.S., you'd have to say that that linkage is pretty weak. So unless things evolve quite a bit different than expected across a much broader array of players, I would think that this would be a pretty low level risk, at least at this point.
Another question from the room.
Hi, just to follow up on what you were saying about the kind of state and local budgetary situations having a strain on the local economy, how do you expect that to, I mean, Bloomberg's going to be announcing his budget later this week, how do you expect further cuts in service and jobs to affect the local economy?
Well, I think there's no question that the, you know, the state and local government consolidation of finances is going to be a drag on the national economy and on this region. I think, though, you know, looking at it broadly, I would certainly expect that the amount of momentum the economy has is sufficient that will not be constraining, you know, in the sense that we'll have an economic recovery. It'll be a pretty decent economic recovery. But it's clearly a negative in terms of the economic outlook.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could add that, I mean, one of the reasons that, of course, in New York City, just the government sector, the state and local government sector, in New York City and the region generally, is a bit larger than for the nation as a whole. So this is one of the reasons why the weakness in this part of the country, it will have a little bit more of an effect. But if you look at the layoff, for example, the employment declines in state and local government, the magnitude of that compared with in a typical, you know, strong recovery, the magnitude of private sector job gains, it's very small relative. In other words, if the private sector were to really get going, the job gains in that sector would probably swamp any job declines in the government sector. So that's kind of what we're hoping for.
Yeah, if I could just add one final thing. I mean, the state of state local finances is pretty dire in many places. But if you sum up the total amount of budget gaps across the country, across all states, it amounts to roughly about 1% of GDP. So, you know, it's bad in terms of the things that have to be done to correct those. But in the aggregate, you see, if you sort of compare it to the overall size of the national economy, it's pretty small in the aggregate.
Any other questions? Okay, well, a few closing remarks then. I'd like to thank President Dudley and our distinguished panel for making their presentations today. Thank you for joining this fourth press briefing here. We plan on continuing these moving forward. All the materials from today's press briefing will be on the New York Fed's website, including video of this briefing. The next one is planned for sometime in the spring of this year, obviously. The next household debt and credit report is due out on May 9th. And I'd like to thank, obviously, everyone on the panel, including Ray Rosen and Joelle Scally, who are sitting off panel, and just reiterate Krishna's remarks that we really do find these as very important to getting sort of the message out about the region and through you to our stakeholders. So thank you for joining us. If you're interested in one-off interviews with any of these economists, unfortunately, President Dulley has to run, but if you're interested in any other interviews, we can set them up afterwards. So thank you for joining. Have a good day.
Thank you.